bring in another unsung hero in our Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery hotline. That is Joe Fisher, voice of the Commodores, who I'm sure hosted a giant Super Bowl party at his house last night.
It was not a giant party, but we did have a small gathering, yes, indeed.
Well, it was a heck of a game, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Joe, let me start real quick. I don't know if you saw this on Saturday, but Brant Snedeker faced the gauntlet of 16, and he was playing with Phil, and he misses the green to the left, and him and Phil basically in the same spot. He flops it up kind of long, but drains the par putt. That had to be a cool experience for him.
Oh, I'm sure it was. And I think what's neat is he's now had the opportunity to play on the bigger stage a little more often. You know, he's now been in featured groupings more often. He's played in that, you know, group with Vijay Singh and now with Mickelson, and he seems to be right at home there. I just think it's a great experience for him. And I think he won, what, $156,000 this weekend. He finished tied for ninth. And I know he's disappointed he didn't make more of a run in the last couple of days. But we're almost starting to take for granted the fact he's going to be in contention. He has just settled in to become a very solid PGA player.
That scene on number 16 out at that course is unbelievable.
I think it's cool that – I kind of wish in some ways they would do that more places.
I agree.
It's like Happy
there
Gilmore,
was
170,000
people there on Sunday, broke a record.
I mean, that's amazing. It's just they have created an atmosphere. It's the place to be. The players know what they're going to get. You know, and I think the constant roar, you know, and the constant rumble is no big deal. I think it's a lot easier to deal with that than the one guy trying to time his – getting the whole yell at the same time that the ball makes contact with the club. So I think it's great. I'd love to see it other places.
Well, getting the hole is what Kevin Stallings was yelling at the basketball on Saturday as the Commodores rebounded with a nice win over Auburn, and the Tigers certainly made it interesting.
Sure did. They're a team, you know, Jeff's done a great job with them and with limited depth on that team. He's got some injury issues and seven scholarship players. But one thing they can do is shoot, and you always know that they're in a game. And frankly, Vanderbilt had a chance to put the lead much more secure in the first half when they were up 14 and got the ball four or five times and weren't able to score again. And then as a result, they only went to the locker room with a double-digit lead because of Jermaine Beal's half-court shot at the buzzer. Then they make the run. Auburn gets it down to one, and Beal really saves the game with three consecutive plays, a huge three-pointer, and then two steals that lead to baskets, and that pretty much settled it. But it wasn't pretty necessarily, but this team really, really had to win at home because now, you know, it's back on the road again this week twice to Georgia and South Carolina. And, you know, 3-4 is a lot more easy to look at than 2-5 in the league, that's for sure.
And, Joe, I was going to bring that up, a pretty remarkable sequence by Beal, because not only does he get the seven straight clutch points, but he does get those two steals that lead to baskets that trigger the break the other way.
No, it changed the game. There's no doubt about it. Auburn had the momentum. They'd gotten it down to one. You could see the guys were beginning to maybe have a little bit of doubt creep into their minds, and he comes in. And you know, now, who would have thought that Jermaine would be the guy that would nail the big three-pointer? He's done it a few times this year. He did that from the left wing, and then he comes down and bats the ball away from behind to Ross Nelder, and Ross just heaves it down court. Jermaine grabs it and lays it in, and then he does it again on the next sequence defensively, and that pretty much ended Auburn's run and gave, I think, Vanderbilt the confidence they needed down the stretch. And it was awfully good to see him step up and play. You know, Shane made some big shots in the second half when Auburn was making their run. Tolbert was spectacular in the second half for them, and Shane would come down and make a big three when they needed it to kind of keep things at bay for a while. Of course, A.J. was very strong in the middle.
Well, that was a big priority for them, was to feed the post, because that seemed to get everything going in their offense, especially in the half court.
Yeah, it certainly did early, and I know that was the goal. Auburn ends up fouling out two guys because of it, and they don't have a lot of depth anyway. So I think you're going to see more of the same, and hopefully A.J. continues to get more comfortable in there, and hopefully continually Vanderbilt's perimeter players get better at feeding him the ball in the right places, because you know that's been one of the issues. A lot of times AJ's open, either the feed comes late or it comes to the wrong place. And I think they're starting to get a little better and a little more comfortable with that.
Joe, as we wrap up here, we should say congratulations to Melanie Balcom on win number 300 in her career as the Commodores beat Georgia yesterday down in Athens.
And anytime you win at Georgia, it's a big deal. And to go down there and beat a 17th-ranked Bulldog team, 61-54, Tina Wirth with 18 points, Jen Risper 13, and to go down there and get win number 300 for Melanie, I'm sure Melanie loves that 300th win, but what she loves more and more is 5-2 in the SEC. So they have bounced back after a couple of disappointing losses early and playing very well right now.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you guys tomorrow.